Washington sends a loud signal that Ukraine remains a priority as U.S. Vice President Joe Biden arrives in Kyiv for a two-day visit. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, author of the Power Vertical blog here at RFRL. Joining me is senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So this is the vice president's fourth trip to Ukraine since the conflict with Russia began. He's due to meet President Petro Poroshenko, Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk, and he'll deliver a much-anticipated address to the Ukrainian parliament on Tuesday. That is going to be the highest-level U.S. official ever to address the Ukrainian parliament since independence. But the visit comes at a particularly sensitive moment. Kyiv's clearly worried that the Syria conflict and the potential for Western cooperation with Russia will weaken its resolve to continue supporting Ukraine. What do you expect to see this week, Steve, from Biden's visit?
Well, I think it's going to be a mix of kind of reassurance and pressure for reform and pressure for action on corruption. I think probably with the emphasis on the former in public statements. As you say, the sort of potential for cooperation on Syria has Kyiv worried. I mean, that was obviously I think they saw the images of Putin and Obama huddling in Antalya at the G20 summit,
right.
And that you know caused concern. That's been sort of blown out of the water a bit by the downing of the Russian warplane by Turkey. Seems to have diminished the at least in the short and medium term chances of large scale cooperation. But I think still, I mean, you have Obama focusing very, very closely on ISIS and the problems in Syria. So I think, Obama had a major speech about the terrorism in the U.S. after these shootings in California. So I think, the point is to reassure Kyiv that, you know, we're still with you. We're still paying attention, and this, you know, Ukraine is very important to the United States. Another thing, I guess I'll say, I think it's about a year until Obama's, term runs out. And, he may be trying to, sending Biden, obviously not going himself, but I think, maybe he's trying to avoid the kind of legacy of the chicken Kyiv speech. You mentioned this is the first or the highest level speech. Biden will be the highest level. Since independence, shortly before that in 1991. The former President Bush spoke, and he had these comments that were then quite, criticized because he was warning Ukraine against suicidal nationalism.
Yeah.
I think was the
suicidal
was the
nationalism.
Word.
That was the phrase. Yeah.
So I think that's still in the minds of Ukrainians and I think the U.S. officials. So I think Obama and Biden maybe trying to create a more positive legacy for their terms in terms of Ukraine and reassure Ukraine that it's still very important.
Well, yeah, and this is a role that Biden has played since almost from the very beginning of his administration. I mean, I recall a trip Biden made in the summer of 2009 to Kyiv and to Tbilisi. And this was as the reset was gathering steam, but it was also in the wake of the Russia-Georgian war. And at that time, the real need for reassurance was in Tbilisi. And Biden gave a speech to the Georgian parliament during that trip as well. This is a role Biden plays again and again and again to reassure U.S. allies in Eastern Europe that we're not going to sell you out to Russia.
Exactly.
I find it curious we have to keep doing this because I think people underestimate the degree to which governments can compartmentalize their foreign policies. I mean, remember after the Iran deal, all the fears that there's some kind of deal was cut with the Russians to get a deal with Iran and Ukraine was going to be sold out, and it wasn't. And then remember after Putin met Obama at the UN, we had these fears revived again. And now, of course, we have them again after Putin and Obama's meeting at the G20. So I think this role Biden plays is as reassurance chief. Do you think he plays it effectively?
I think it's effective. To your point, he's done it several times.
He also made trips to the Czech Republic and Poland in 2010. Again, this reassurance because there was all these fears that the U.S. was going to abandon the East to its Moscow policy.
Right. No, I agree that. I mean, I think maybe those fears can be overblown a lot of the time. I think we have seen that throughout Obama's presidency that he's resisted tying different issues together, particularly with Russia. So, I think the fears of of even before the Turkish kind of shoot down, I think the fears of that the U.S. would kind of throw Ukraine under the bus and as it seeks a solution in Syria, we're a bit overblown.
Yeah, I think Biden, I mean, his personality is very, very conducive to this role in a lot of ways. I mean, if you've watched Biden during these trips, he does really connect with people, not just with leaders, but with publics as well. He also has very good personal relations with a lot of the leaders in this part of the world. It's part of the world he's very interested in and very knowledgeable about. So I think there's a potential for this to send a powerful signal. I'm wondering what he's going to say in Parliament and where the accent's going to be, because I see, like you said, two things coming up, two reasons for this trip. It's Biden playing that role of reassurer in chief, but it's also Biden delivering some tough love, because I think he's going to send a very firm message to Kyiv that they really have to get serious about reforms, and they really have to get serious about fighting corruption, because as the kind of kinetic phase of this battle between Russia and Ukraine dampens down a bit, it's turning into a war of governance. And in a lot of ways, Ukraine's future is in its hands.
Exactly. And I think, I mean, I don't know if he'll make this argument, but, you know, Poroshenko has been, you know, understandably talking a lot about what a threat Russia is. But I think, you know, as we move into this phase where you know, there's less fighting in eastern Ukraine, you know, Biden may make the point that at least potentially Ukraine's worst enemy is itself, you know, mm-hmm. or potentially itself. It needs to kind of clean house. And that, again, with Russia still keeping the pressure on and presumably waiting for any misstep, you know, that just redoubles the need for Ukraine to conduct reforms and combat corruption. So I think that's one of the points that he's going to be making.
Well, yeah, and having just been in Ukraine, I can say that there is growing frustration with the authorities that the pace of reform is too slow, that they're not much has really been done on the corruption front, and they're worried that they're getting into a situation like the old Who song, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I don't think that's fair, to be honest. I think I do think the reform is going too slow, but on the other hand, I think you got to give this place a break. They're trying to reform a deeply dysfunctional economy in the middle of a war and with a neighbor that's trying to destabilize it and using every opportunity. But by the same token, Ukraine really cannot give Russia any more weapons. So I think the war of governance, he probably won't use that phrase, but that's what I see developing now. And I think that Biden's going to try to give them a little nudge in that direction, because they build a successful country in the part of it they control. And let's face it, that is the vast majority of Ukraine. It's going to make the territorial conflicts less relevant.
Right.
So, all right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. I'd like to remind you, you've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news in Russia and Ukraine this week. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me has been senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.